You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin, how are you feeling? Oh my God. How about that, huh? Oh, today, this week, the mood is joyful, excited, hopeful. Holy crap. You know, if you missed the show last week, it was a great discussion because we had some really incredible people. Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim was here, and we had a really great conversation with one. Hey, Justice-elect Susan Crawford. Cue the applause. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, how does that feel, friends? Check it out, though, if you want to listen to it. And it was really interesting. Senator Alfheim asked Justice-elect Crawford about the maps. And that really was interesting because she really didn't talk much about that, because that's what all the media and the Republicans wanted her to talk about leading up to the election. But she gave a really candid answer. And so if you want to hear it, civicmedia.us, and you can search our show. You can listen to it on the app. It was really, really awesome. And my thanks to Senator Dassler-Alfheim, and wonderful. It just feels so good to say Justice-elect Susan Crawford. How about that? This week, though, we are going to talk to two of my all-time favorite people. First, there's someone that I have known since I was a little baby in the Brown County GOP. My dear friend, Tracy Mangold, she is here with us. She is the former secretary of the 8th District GOP. We're going to talk about that hot mess. What's going on with that? It is a hot mess, by the way. So you'll get to hear all about that. And then we have, this woman is freaking everywhere. Like, it just absolutely everywhere. We're going to talk with former congressional candidate, current activist, always the caretaker, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Is here
today playing the role of Kristen,
which is
as opposed to last week playing the role of Kristen Alfheim.
Yes, it was so funny. So we were at the protest that was there was a great event that was in Green Bay. There was over 1,000 people there,
just a block away.
A block away, it was amazing. And my son Charlie, after the event, so Kristen was holding the bullhorn and Charlie was doing the chants. He was like, you know, I think that. Maybe other than her kids, I'm probably her number one fan.
Oh, he might be the number one fan because my kids don't actually like me that much.
No, so that was so cool though, and like, what a change. November sucked, and it feels like we're coming out of a long bad dream. Like the fog is lifting, and there is a path forward.
I had forgotten what hope felt like.
Yeah.
And I knew that if we won that election, I would feel good. But it is almost like a fog.
Yeah.
Like this pall has been lifted and like, oh, what do we do next? Okay, how do we get people together? Let's have more conversation. Let's fix this.
Right.
We do have some power here.
We do have
power.
Momentum.
Yes.
Yeah. What surprised you about the results?
How fast they came in.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be neck and neck. I was ready for a recount.
Yeah.
So 8:45, I was absolutely like blown away.
Yeah. I was sitting at the table with my kids and my wife, and I'm like, oh my God. Holy bleep, she's going to win this. And it's not going to be close.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Well, when they said that they were running out of ballots
now,
in Milwaukee,
yeah.
That was a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, voter turnout was just...
Was it 9:16 that was called by the AP?
By the AP, but Cook Report called it at 8:45.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There was a couple other ones. The first one I saw was The Hill.
Uh-huh.
And that was right around that time, too.
Wow.
I thought it would take days.
I did too.
I wasn't sure. Just the way things have been going. But I was pleasantly surprised.
And can I just say, I am so proud to be a Wisconsinite.
Yeah.
Because the shenanigans that led up to it with Elon Musk and all the money. just like blatantly trying to pay off Wisconsinites for their votes. And the event in Green Bay with the big checks that went to insiders, not regular people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was just so like, so are you in the in crowd or not? Yeah. And, you know, there are only a few people who are in the in crowd and they're not from here. And Wisconsinites figured it out and they pushed back and they said, we are not for sale. And we weren't.
It was so like, and it's vindication, but it's also really funny how, you know, leading up to it, the Republicans, it was like, George Soros and all this stuff. And it's
they
like,
still are saying that.
It's like, dude, it wasn't even close. Did George Soros pay 25? No, he didn't.
They don't care.
He didn't. And then, well, it was the turnout. Yeah, okay.
Oh, they're still trying to say that it was, you know, fraudulent election. Marjorie Taylor Greene is asking for a recount.
What?
I'm like, dude, it was 10 points.
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
Did she say, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Apparently, yeah.
She's special.
I love that for her.
You know what I really loved, though? And I don't agree with Brad Schimmel on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, yeah.
But when he stood up there and he gave his concession speech, it was classy.
Yeah.
And he was getting calls from the audience to reject the results. And he said, nope, we're not going to do that. And my heart went, oh, thank God. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I've definitely lost elections and it feels bad. So to stand there and do that feels bad, but it's the right thing to do. It's the norm. And we've been so far removed from that. And that was, it was so good. So thank you, Brad Schimmel.
It didn't surprise me though, because that's the kind of guy Brad is.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him, you know, from my work in the Republican Party.
Yep.
I've known him since he first ran.
Yep.
He's always been a good guy. You know, as a person, he's a really good person.
Yeah,
so it
is.
Did not surprise me that he responded that way. That's Brad.
It was, you know,
I just don't agree with him on a lot of the issues, and it's not personal. It's just that this, you know, Crawford was the much better choice in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And I know him as well. And I got a lot of people on Facebook, because when he ran for attorney general, we helped him at the Brown County GOP.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know, I mean, I have his cell phone number, right? And I got people commenting on my, well, I remember having a beer at the old, you know, Meet the Ticket event, and you were talking to Brad Schimmel, and you're right. And the Brad Schimmel I knew then is not the Brad Schimmel that I know now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because in order to survive in that party, the mental gymnastics that you have to do to pass away and to push under the rug all of the things that you know are wrong, all the things that you know are not okay, but you have to be okay with the BS from Trump and the BS from Musk, that 10 years ago, none of the people that I knew would be like, ah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's more of it, please.
It's unbelievable, what you have to give away of yourself in order to be part of the cool kids club.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, if things could have been differently, I'm not saying that the other issues like the rape tests, you know, the rape kit tests and whatnot, but had Brad said, you know, I'm not going to accept money from outside people, and I'm going to, you know, I represent the people of Wisconsin, I represent the Constitution, I'm going to rule, you know, according to that, I need the money, but I'm not going to accept it. That could have changed the dynamic of it.
Yeah.
And I think it could have, you know, we will never know. But, you know, with Johnson saying that without Elon in the mix, he would have lost worse.
Whatever.
He's so tone deaf. No.
Tracy, I
hear you saying, let's just get money out of politics.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be everybody.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could happen. It's just that there's too many ties. There's too many, what do you call it?
It's almost as if that Citizens United thing, you know,
was a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that something? I texted Ron.
Your old friend Ron?
My buddy. Uh-huh. he didn't text me back.
Surprise, surprise.
I sent it to you, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was great because it was, you know, with my history with our buddy Ron, I had to text him and with the article. I said, hey, how's your night going, bud?
Oh, boy.
with the article of, that he was defeated, as we're talking with. We've got Tracy Mangold and Kristen Lierley, and we're talking about how amazing the election was. Another thing that was amazing, and I will eat this, I was really nervous for the state superintendent of schools race.
I was less nervous about it because I had seen some polling and it seemed like there was a big gap there. But the way that they positioned Brittany Kinzer, they brought her in as an independent. And initially, at least, tried to make her look like a Democrat. But then it was really obvious that she was the Republican's candidate.
I was getting a text, and I don't want to say his name, but it, from a high-level former person in the assembly. Because I was chastising Kinzer a little bit. Rightfully so, because, you know, charter
schools. She wasn't for public schools.
Right. And you want to be the head of public instruction.
Right.
But you're thinking charter schools are the way to go. And he messaged me and he's like, you realize Brittany Kinzer's a Democrat. You know, and I'm like,
no.
Dude, on what planet? I hope he listens to this. But like, because like, I mean, cool. She's from Milwaukee and I know Brittany. And I'm sure she's a wonderful person. And she does a lot for children. And also, the state of education in Milwaukee and how things are funded and what happens in Milwaukee is not how we should blanket it across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, I was nervous about that race.
It's all the trickery and the foolery.
Yes.
And people are confused.
Tomfoolery.
The tomfoolery. I had people like texting and calling me the morning of the election. I put out a little voter guide
with
like all the school board people, as many as I could get, and, you know, ask people to contribute as well. Because people are confused. It's so hard to know if there's not a D or an R next to the name. And you know how you typically vote, so often you don't pay attention to all that stuff. It's hard for people to know all those down ballot candidates.
Yes. Right.
Now, I'm confused because I'd heard that there was, you know, connection to Moms for Liberty with Kinzer.
So that's where I was
confused when people were saying, well, but she's a Democrat. I'm like, okay, I'm hearing that she's got connections to Moms with Liberty or for Liberty and this. So it's like the words and the music weren't jiving. So that's another thing that's confusing. And if I'm highly informed, but if people are not and they're seeing this, that's where I worry that there's so much misinformation out there.
There is. Well, there is. And like, I mean, we have to be very, I loathe Moms for Liberty. Like, I loathe that organization because of what they are. Because they started off with the anti-masking thing. And like so many of those groups, you know, the outrage went away. And I was like, oh, shoot. Now what do we got to get pissed off about, right? And and that's how the money comes in, all that stuff. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the old break here with Kristen Lierley and Tracy Mangold here on the Rational Revolution.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. We've got Dr. Kristen Lierley. And Tracy Mangold and Moms for Liberty sucks.
You know, they were actually sending out flyers that labeled Brittany Kinzer as a Democrat.
Really?
Friends of mine in Milwaukee were showing me flyers that said Democrat Brittany Kinzer. It was so deceitful. That's the thing that really gets me. Like, talk to me about the truth. Talk to me about the things that actually mean something to you. Let's solve some problems. Don't try to trick me into doing something that I would otherwise not do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what they and Moms for Liberty, they're in. I mean, so I live in the Pulaski School District. They're here, they're working with. There's a Moms for Liberty chapter in Pulaski, and they were trying to get involved in what they do here in our town, and it's not a big area. And so when you have that group with their weeds into so many of like that's it's really dangerous.
Yeah. It is. They're in Winnebago, too. I mean,
they're everywhere,
especially in the Winnebago County Republican Party. They have a lot of Moms for Liberty. I think their vice chair might be or they might have switched officers since last time yeah. I knew, but I knew that they were involved with Moms for Liberty. I mean, they're the things that they're pushing are just so despicable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so I was really encouraged to see Wisconsin vote for public education.
Yes.
You know, and I think what would be interesting is let's have the discussion about Act 10. My grandpa was a union bargainer for the teachers.
Really?
Yes. Way, way back when he was a band teacher for Luxembourg Casco.
And he was a band teacher.
Yes, he was.
That's so cool.
Yes. And he was their health insurance bargainer mm-hmm. for the teachers union. And like that stuff matters. And we can have those conversations because crazy people aren't making our laws. Well, I mean, they kind of are in the, in the Senate and the Assembly right now. But yeah. So, Dr. Lyerly.
Yes, sir.
What have you been up to?
I'm doing so many cool things.
You're everywhere.
Yeah. Actually, you know, after this segment, I got a roll because Rolling Stone wants to talk to me. So.
Okay. Nice.
Not to brag or anything. But no, so working with candidates and potential candidates, you know, the midterms, we're taping on Thursday. The midterms are 579 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So chop, chop. We've got work to do.
We've got
candidates to find. We've got communities to build. We've got to pull people together. We did a listening session out in Shawano the other day, which was really delightful. Just hearing it, I didn't set it up. They invited me to come. Not like I can do anything. I'm not an elected official,
right. But
I can listen and I can help them organize. And so we started talking about how can we react to this measles epidemic that's barreling down on us, and how can we make sure that we're safe, and how can we let the public know, and how can we talk about bird flu and all these other things. So that's one piece of it. Another huge piece of it is I just signed on with an organization called the Committee to Protect Healthcare. Mm. It's over 40,000 doctors across the country.
That's a big one.
All different specialties. It's huge. And they aren't like the American Medical Association or the doctor professional organizations that focus a lot on like doctors. We focus on patients. So we're tackling Medicaid. We're tackling things that regular people are dealing with, the stuff, the problems I love to solve. And it is so in the vacuum created by Robert F. Kennedy, dismantling the health infrastructure of our country, there is a need for the voice of science. So that is what we are hoping to fill.
I can't imagine, you know, you look at like professions and you say, oh, those people are more of this and this was the, I can't imagine doctors, you know, who even if they are on the right would see what's going on and be like, what? You know, don't get your vaccine. That's probably fine. You know,
measles. Bill Cassidy passed him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, most of the doctors that serve in Washington, D.C. are Republicans, and they're on board with that. And the OBGYNs there are anti-choice.
Like, how?
Because it's about money. It's not about serving patients. It's about, these are people who went into medicine to make money, which is not why you go into medicine nowadays, by the way.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, my generation went into medicine to serve people.
Right.
So to me, I'm really, really, really excited about this. It's a pretty new organization and we've been doing some really exciting things in lots of different states. We've been able to work with some legislators in Minnesota to get some affordable prescription bills passed. We're going to be working with folks in Oregon and California. It's really cool stuff.
Do you have to get to travel there and work?
Know.
You think? Yeah, I suppose it's new. So Kristen Lyer, are you going to run for anything? What is that future like for you?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Mark. You know, I've run for a few things in the past, and that's fun. Anytime that I've ever run for something, it hasn't been about the office. It's been about the opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I can do that right now as a doctor in this current world. So I don't know that I'm going to necessarily run for something, but I have this sneaking suspicion that there is a really incredible human being who I love dearly and support and certainly would, you know, be in his camp, Mark Becker.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And that's, you know, that is on the radar yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the next few months play out because, you know, our buddy Tony Weed, you know.
Who? I don't know. I haven't seen him.
He's terrible. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That congressional guy that we apparently have.
Honestly, I'm sure Tony Weed is a really nice guy. We have mutual friends.
A blank Mike Gallagher, who was not there, was more present than Tony Weed.
He shows up for other people's rallies.
Yes.
But not to actually be present for his constituents. Even his telephone town hall was done by somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never seen someone so absent. And he's a freshman. It's not like he's, you know, he's clocked out. He's put in his time. He hasn't ever even gotten started.
Right. Mm-mm. It's relatively important as a member of Congress to you know, respond to the community that you represent.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big deal.
Not what we're seeing.
Well, no.
And I've never actually met him, formally met him, even when I was 8th District Secretary. Usually we have a pretty close relationship with candidates. You know, we're trying to help push them, get information out.
You're not missing much from what I hear.
No, but you'd think that I would have, you know, but they I think, had him stay away from the 8th District Executive Committee at that time when we had the officers when I was involved. I think that the outside counties, the problem counties in the 8th, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
I think they had a big role in telling him don't work with them. And I think it did a huge disservice, but you know, that's another day. You know, he won on the whole merits of being endorsed by Trump.
Trump endorsed Tony Weed.
Well, that's, he paid for it. He bought that endorsement. Yeah. Oh, let's be clear.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that's all that's there. I actually had an appointment to see him in Washington, D.C.
Sorry, this is a great story.
And when we got there, there were three of us sitting on the couch, and he like jubilantly came out of another meeting that was clearly very happy and shook the person's hand next to me, shook my hand and got this like momentary look of terror on his face, shook person's hand and then said, I'll be right back. And he bolted out of his office and he didn't return for the meeting that we had scheduled for him. So, and we wanted to talk about Medicare and Medicaid and rural obstetrics. Like, we wanted to have a real, a respectful conversation, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't even do that.
And he wants to be cut from the cloth of, like, we're real men. We're strong men. Strong leadership. We're, you know, all this chest pump. Oh, my God, it's Dr. Lott. I gotta go.
I'm so scary.
All right. Well, right.
It speaks to the bigger problem that, is he really there for all constituents? When you run, you're running on a partisan, right? But once you get into office, you are the legislator for everybody.
Reed Ribble had this thing where he came to our biggest event and held his congressional card and said, I do not represent only Republicans.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This says I represent the people of the 8th Congressional District. And we're going to talk about more of the 8th Congressional District hot mess with Tracy Mangold here on the Rational Revolution. Stick around. Welcome back to the show, Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. We had rock star Kristen Lyerly, but she's the true rock star is going to talk to the Rolling Stone. So that article, I'm sure, will come out.
She's in high demand.
Right? Yes.
Rightfully so.
We've got someone else who's in high demand. We've got my dear friend Tracy Mangold.
Hey.
Hello. So I don't have a ton of notes because this is going to be interesting. We both have experience with Republican politics.
Yes.
You, much more recent than me, I've been on the outs with those folks for 10 years. Welcome to the party, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And
it took me a while.
Well, but you did a lot of incredible things. Like, you worked your tail off.
We
got to meet the vice president and Liz Cheney and Rippon.
Yep.
And
governor.
But it's cool to see recognition for your badassery.
Thank you.
Right? Your good trouble.
Thank you. The only kind of trouble.
Right. But so much respect for standing up, because I know it is incredibly difficult.
It is.
People hate you. You get love letters from that aren't very nice. And
called every name in the book.
Called every name in the book by people who you thought were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No. Politics is like a family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been involved for over 30 years.
You go to battle with a lot of people.
I grew up in it, you know, and so the people, whether even if you disagree with them, you see these people at every event, and so it becomes like a family.
What's happened in the 8th district? They were in the news recently.
Oh yeah, big time.
Talk about that.
Where do I start?
They had a guy that took over as chair, was definitely duly elected, absolutely.
Yeah, well, he's not technically chair yet.
That
goes into place unless the current chair, steps aside on purpose, prior to the state convention, but by the rules, according to the rules, the Constitution, they don't take effect until the adjournment of the state convention. So, I think a lot of it, there's a few reasons. Turning Point's a huge one.
Turning Point USA,
yep. Which is Charlie Kirk. They are a division of Heritage Foundation.
They're an extremist group.
They are an extremist group.
And we have one of those guys who is a Turning Point USA rep.
Yep.
Who is like, I don't know, he's not from here, but he ran for, like, he's on the county board now, and I think he's part of the 8th leadership team.
He's got my position, 8th district secretary.
Lovely. Yeah, couldn't ask for a better guy.
He runs from what I know about him, which is not a lot, but he runs in every state that he seems to land in. He ran for Congress in Michigan.
Oh, did he really?
When he was living there prior to Wisconsin.
That's funny.
So I think he just kind of, it's like pokes holes until he finds, you know, a weak spot.
Ah.
That's my interpretation of it. I am not a big fan of his just because he tried to taunt me at the state convention, which was kind of funny.
Oh, it's super Christian of him.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, he loves Jesus too.
He's a bully.
Yeah, he is.
From what everything I've heard. But
I'd love to have him on the show.
That would be interesting.
That would be a hell of a talk, huh?
Yeah.
So, and his name is Dixon Wolf. So what happened with the GOP? So there was the guy, Turning Point USA endorsed this guy, Ken.
Well, it's even before that.
Okay.
I mean, we saw trouble brewing when, Ken Sikora came on the picture. And the problem is, you know, Okando County, their leadership was faltering a little bit. It wasn't as strong as it should be. And so, you know, you had people that kind of were fighting against it.
Yep.
And so you're trying to mitigate and trying to find the lesser problematic way of accomplishing things. And so he got installed as their chair, but he's not somebody that follows rules of order. He doesn't follow the Constitution. He doesn't know Robert's rules of order. He's an extremist. He's got some other issues that I'm sure you have heard about in the news. But, you know, Brown County, Waupaca County, and Oconee County are the three problem counties in the district. And when he got involved, it became like a kind of a, he was like the ringleader. And they started bucking against everything. You know, they hated Mike Gallagher, and he admitted he never voted for him.
What?
And
Oh, really? I didn't know.
They purposely were trying to get that Alex Brusewitz to run against Mike before he resigned. And Alex Brusewitz, there was that whole thing of him not actually being from here. He actually is from Ripon.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, not a good choice in the least. They were going to try to primary Mike with this guy.
Oh.
And as a chair, you're not supposed to be doing that thing. There's a little thing called the Constitution that every county has, and you're supposed to follow that. And they were not following, and they haven't been. You're not, you know, Okano's Constitution specifically says the chair may not endorse personally or professionally or as the chair.
Mm-hmm.
The other executive committee members, as they're not supposed to endorse either, but personally, it's not so ironclad. But you're not supposed to. He didn't pay attention to that. He violated that. So what you've got is people that are working against the establishment, and I hate the word establishment, but you do have people that have been in long term. Establishment can be a good word or a bad word. And I think that they're bucking against it, but not really understanding how the party politics work.
Right. And so all of this kind of boiled over into the 8th district convention. Caucus.
Yeah, on the Republican side is.
And we're talking with Tracy Mangold, who she would know because she was the former secretary of the 8th district GOP. And so they had this, and what some people read is like they had to have cops at the caucus because they're like, this could get rowdy, and there were threats. And, you know, the extremist, the county board member from the Turning Point USA hate group, you know, I ain't gonna mince words on that stuff.
No. You can't.
But so it got really bad.
It did.
I mean, this made national news.
I wasn't there. I mean, obviously.
Well, no.
I wouldn't go anywhere near. I mean,
with your
I'm
popcorn.
Hated. I have a big target on my back.
Welcome to the club.
Right? That's so nice.
It's a good place to be.
They called every name in the book. Yeah, it's just so fun. By people that, you know, they're cannibalizing each other.
They are.
They were not supposed to be seated. They didn't follow. You know, there's a thing that the chair has a discretion to unseat, or, you know, and there, I can't get too much into it because I don't have all the actual details for this year.
Right.
Just about how things are supposed to go. But, you know, when they're threatening people and they're not allowing delegates,
right?
You know, you vote on delegates at your county caucus. And but the thing is, you have a delegate allotment that is, it goes by usually the presidential or the governor. I forget which one it was for this year, but they change it. So, for example, if Brown County had 304 delegates that they're allotted, but you don't have that many members, well, then you could vote all of them in as delegates. It's a problem when you have more members than you do delegate allotments. That's when you would really vote on it. But they didn't allow five particular people to be delegates for the 8th District Caucus. And that could have changed the dynamic of the vote. But to eliminate people from being a delegate when that's their right as a member is a huge problem. And so they took it to court. Ken Sikora, O'Connell County Chair, took it to court and tried to get them to put a stop to it. And so he put a lawsuit against Stephanie Suchik.
Yeah.
Suchik, the 8th District current chair and 8th District.
What an embarrassment.
Yeah. And so the judge allowed for the counties to be seated. And Schimming isn't doing jack squat.
Yeah, you know, right. Where's the chairman on that?
I emailed him, you know, before or after I quit, after I resigned last July. And I said, you know, if you had had our backs at all throughout this might not have happened.
I don't, you know, you look at who's been chair in the past of the Wisconsin GOP, you know, Reince Priebus. And then you had, I don't know what the other guy was, shorter dude with but you know,
Andrew Hitt.
Yeah, not him. Who was right after Priebus? I can see his face.
Anyway, yeah, but like, my brain too.
You know, but
Brad Courtney.
Yes, Brad Courtney. But like Schimming, like he's someone who's just kind of climbing the ladder, and I feel that he's just happy to be there.
It's not. It's more than that, though. I mean, Schimming's been around for a long time.
He has.
I mean, I've known him since Schimming wins, the '96 you know? Yeah. when I was on the Detman campaign against Prosser on that primary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
But Schimming is, you know, we thought, I think when I was still in the party and when they were putting his name up there, we thought, oh, he's connected.
Yeah.
He's going to be great for raising money. He's going to be great at networking. He's a blowhard. I'm just going to say it. That's what he is. I mean, he just is a blowhard.
He's
like, you know, you get a few calls a day and he calls it good. It's like, no, you need to be raising money constantly. And, you know, when Turning Point is out raising the RNC, that's the problem right now, is that Turning Point, they have all the cards. They have all the power. And people are going because they're saying, well, they're doing more than the RNC is or RPW is. So, you know, and their goal is to replace everybody in the party.
That's the question. So Turning Point USA is an advocacy group for a hate group. But are they trying to, through legal matters, take over the GOP?
I don't know. I can't
answer that. Crazy stuff that they talk about. We were talking about how, so even when I was chair, they were talking about like constitutional conventions.
Yeah.
And
that,
like, it's scary.
That's right now. I'm kind of been signaling alert about a possible constitutional convention. Now, there's a lot of schools of thought on that. I think, you know, there's people that think, oh, that can't happen. You have to have 2/3 of the states, you know, to agree to it. But we are not in a time that we can second guess Trump.
Yeah.
We are not in a time that we can say, oh, you know, that's beyond our wildest dreams. No, he's proven that you think about the wildest thing possible and it could happen.
Yeah.
And we're at that state. And what I'm saying is people need to just be alert to this. If you hear stuff about constitutional convention, you do not want it.
No.
There are no parameters. It requires a 2/3 vote. I'm not an expert on it. I'm not going to claim to be. I'm researching more about it. But it's Article 5, the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We don't want it. There are no parameters. They could say, hey, we're going to try to limit the spending. We're going to a constitutional amendment to the spending. In D.C.
Like everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table. But then they could say, hey, while we're here, let's look at, women's right to vote.
Marriage equality.
Yeah. Birthright citizenship.
Yeah.
There's no limit to what they could do to the Constitution. And at the end of the day, the Constitution must be protected at all costs. And right now, you cannot allow for one or the other. Who's got the majority right now? You know, and they're already, I've heard that states are putting in petitions regarding that. Ohio GOP, I believe. You know, and I pray that this never comes to be, but it's something that we need to keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah.
And I encourage other people to check it out, read about it, and just inform yourself.
Because, I mean, when I was chair, you know, they were talking about it. And it was like, okay, this is the drunk uncle, and we just laugh it off. No. Mm-mm. This is serious, and people are serious, and they do want it. And you know, you look at two thirds of the states, you know, a lot of these states are red, even though they don't support or they don't have the population density mm-hmm. that other big states have. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No,
and it's frightening what would happen if something came out of
that. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. And that's why, you know, yeah, maybe I sound a little extreme on this, but at this time, we can't afford not to be. We can't afford to just overlook things, you know, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I don't want to be right about this.
Right.
But I just, you know, if we follow the way things are going and Trump talking about these extra terms and whatnot, you know.
We have a president that is stretching the Constitution to its breaking.
And nobody's stopping him.
Nobody's stopping. What brought you away from the GOP?
A lot of things, I'm going to admit, I never was a Trumper.
Yeah, me too.
I did my job as a secretary. I disseminated information. I did my work. I never, ever faltered on that. But I personally, I can't. The party has been shifting to this almost vile point of where there's so much hatred and nastiness and this control. They used to be the party of less government, hands off, and now it's like, what the heck? Now they want to be in our bedrooms. They want to be at our doctor's offices. They want to be everywhere, and at what cost? And I couldn't adhere to that anymore. I thought I could affect change inside.
Yep.
You know, same. I thought I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to try to affect change. I'm going to try to be a positive influence. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all volunteers. We're not paid.
Yep.
And even as an elected person, you're still a volunteer. And, you know, to be called name in the book, work your butt off for these people. And to be, you know, vilified, and when I'm trying to hold people accountable, it's not a good thing. And I'm not the only one. There's other people that are leaving the party.
Oh, yeah.
My mom, Shirley Kaufman, has resigned from Marinette County GOP.
That's seismic.
Huge. That is,
yes.
It doesn't mean she's not a Republican, per se. It just means that she's tired of this establishment crap that's coming and that they're capitulating to Trump and they're capitulating to Ken Sikora and these Turning Point people.
It is going to be fascinating to see what happens and how this plays out. So I do hope you come back because I think there's so much to talk about because there's so much to unpack.
There is. And so much that we can do to affect positive change. And that's the key.
Yes. And yeah.
Be alert. Stay informed. And do everything that you can to educate yourself.
Awesome. Tracy Mangold. Resident badass, former GOP secretary. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
We'll have you back.
I'd love to.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together right now.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bangers here on this show. Let me tell you what. My thanks to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for hanging out with us, and my dear friend Tracy Mangold. If you missed any part of that discussion, because you don't want to, you can revisit them. They're available all the time on demand at our Civic Media app and available at civicmedia.us. And you know what was interesting? There's so much that I connect to with the story of Tracy. And she's sitting here listening away. But there's so much I connect to her story because I was there. And, you know, I never voted for Donald Trump. I was a proud never Trumper. I think we talked about that in the last episode. And, you know, I was on the ground floor there. And so to hear the bleep that she's gone through, it's tale as old as time, and it sucks, but you know, if you have a chance to read her Substack or listen to the things that she says, it's definitely worth your time because it matters. And the courage that she has had, is a million times commendable. And, it's cool that she was recognized. You know, we met Kamala Harris together and all it's the stuff she's doing is really great. So take some time and look her up. And this leads me into the discussion that I'm going to have with you, because we talked Tracy and I did a little bit about building bridges and where the big tent is. And I want to talk about voter ID. Because we didn't talk about that in the first segment about the results. And I know a lot of people are going to listen to this and say, oh, yeah, we got the two big ones, but boy, we lost on voter ID. Guys, this is going to be a hard conversation. Because the fact is, voter ID in Wisconsin passed with almost 63% of the vote. That's huge. So what that tells me, which should tell you, is that this was a pretty large bipartisan issue in a state that we don't have a lot of bipartisan stuff going on, right? In absolute full disclosure, I voted no on the referendum. I voted no. I do believe that we need to make voting easy for people. I think that I do know that when you register to vote, yes, you got to provide an ID. I know that. I also know that voter fraud is a huge issue that the GOP wants you to believe is rampant, and it's not. It's a scare tactic, right? It's like Trump saying, "Oh, we're gonna shut down the fentanyl streaming in from Canada." You know, they have like 0.3% of the fentanyl that's coming into the country. But we also have to have a pretty frank conversation with each other. And I think this is a huge learning opportunity for Democrats. Now, I this is not a fight that they picked. This was put on the ballot specifically by the Republican Party to generate some excitement and enthusiasm in an election that they really thought that they might be lacking. So I get that. And I completely understand that there are items that we will fight for that bring us closer to that idea, that more perfect union thing, that little thing, right? I agree that making it easier to vote for people is a good thing. And we need to do that because there are true problems out there. And the voter suppression is a real thing. It absolutely is a real thing. Voter intimidation is a real thing, right? So making it easier to vote, we have to do that. But on the flip side, guys, we also have to understand and acknowledge that even countries that we would look at as like, these are shining countries on a hill, right? Liberal bastions of what we aspire to be. Countries like Norway, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, countries like Japan and England, even Canada, they require IDs to vote. Canada, you have to show your ID at the polls, right? So we, as people on the left, we have to not really get too upset when something like this happens, because I promise you, there is a large percent of the voter base on the left who would say, you know, I voted no, but then if you have a conversation, there is common ground between people on the left and people on the right on this issue. And if we use it the right way, this is an issue that can expand the tent. We can frame it as, okay, cool, I will give you the voter ID thing. You can have that. But can we at least agree that maybe these massive voter roll purges in primarily African-American communities shouldn't happen, right? There are issues like this that we can use to say, okay, we'll give you that are clearly popular, 63%, right? We can use that to our benefit. And we can use that to educate, and we can use that to open some doors. When we talk about the Republican Party, one of the big things that Tracy and I liked about the party, it was not true anymore, but one of the things that we liked was they talked about being the big tent. The big tent is not there. It's here. It's on the left. I promise you that. And if we get off of some of these issues like voter ID and talk about the real, what voter suppression really is, because again, I promise it exists. We all know that. And we can talk about issues like the assault on marriage equality and on trans people and on unions and the fight for fair maps. Like, this is where the Democratic Party can flourish and grow, because we have to grow. You look at what happened in Florida, a 37% district was won by 14%. Holy crap. You look at in Wisconsin, every single one of our 72 counties shifted to the left. That's awesome. But now what we have is a deep and dire responsibility to take that and bring those people in. And we do that by not getting really super pissed at the voter ID result, but understanding we can take that result and use it to our benefit and grow this damn party that won on Tuesday. Justice Crawford. Holy crap. We'll see you next week, guys, on the Rational Revolution. Thank you so much.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.